And joining us on the phone right now, my favorite state senator, Mr. Joseph Griffo. Senator, how are you today?
Doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm all right. It seems like you guys have been very busy, even though you're not really in session right now. We got a couple issues to deal with. First off, the prison closure out in Oneida. How's things looking, Joe?
Well, I think it was always going to be a difficult challenge to overturn the decision, but we felt we should make that effort. And we did several things, all of us collectively working together, elected officials, the county exec, the state assemblywoman, Senator Spilesky, myself, the mayor of Rome. We've tried to have a very unified approach in this. We asked, I would look at it in three categories. First, we made the appeal for the prison by requesting information, by requesting a delay, and asking for reconsideration. We have not heard finally on the reconsideration, but from conversations that we've had, it does not look likely, appear likely that they're going to change their minds. So on parallel paths, while we were making those appeals, we also were concerned about trying to keep as many of the jobs in the area. And we have urged the Department of Corrections through the commissioner to do whatever he has to do to try to keep as many of the jobs here. If the closure is effectuated, they have been receptive to that, and they're doing some things like opening up units that had not previously scheduled to be opened in the other three remaining facilities here. That'll help somewhat, and we're asking for other things in addition to that. So that's the second part of that. And then finally is the economic transition,
right,
and what aid and opportunities would be available. Not only looking at reuse of the facility, but what we can do to help the community and the people that will be affected and impacted by it. So that's what's taking place right now, and we're hopeful that if indeed their decision remains as is, and it appears more than likely that that will be the case, then they would work with us to secure as many of these jobs as possible by being very creative in how they're undertaking assignments and things of that nature. And then finally, we'll begin to look at the economic development transition programs that will help grow jobs in this area, hopefully.
Next issue is the, and I've heard a lot about this from a lot of people, and this was a big issue at the special meeting of the Common Council last night, is the election times for the special election for the 116th District, the assembly race between Brandisi and Johnson. The polls open at 6 o'clock in the morning and run till 9. But the primaries, it's on the same day as the primary election. You can only vote for the primaries from noon to 9.
Now, this is a problem with state law and with the governor calling the elections on primary day. I know that a lot of the candidates initially were excited about the primary day because it's always a low turnout on day. So they were excited that they were going to have a special general election along with the primary to bring people out. But I knew from the very beginning that this would be very problematic because of the times. The state law sets times for general elections from 6 to 9. For some reason, I think there are a number of reasons, because it was how they've set primary hours 12 to 9. I think it was to save some money because it's always difficult to find people to work the long hours. So as a result of that, most of upstate, with the exception of Erie County in western New York and the New York City area, all have 12 to 9, but those areas have 6 to 9, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., so even though there are a number of races across the state, there are probably 6 or 7 special elections. There's a congressional seat downstate, a number of other assembly seats. We're the only one that has this unique situation because everybody else has the 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. rules in effect. So now the problem is if you go in at 9 a.m. to vote in Utica, for instance, and you want to vote for the assembly race, everybody can vote for that race that lives in the city of Utica. So you could cast your vote for that. But if you were a member of a particular party to want to vote for the mayoral primary on the Republican side or council primaries on a Democrat side, you would not be able to do that until afternoon. So that is an inconvenience. That is a problem. I have talked to lawyers. We have talked to the governor's staff. There's only three options that appear likely as a possibility right now. One would be to convene the legislature and change the law. And that does not seem probable or likely. Yeah. It would be hard to do right now to have the governor call a special session of the legislature to deal with this one specific issue. Secondly, would be to see whether or not there's any recourse for the executive, and I do not believe they have that, number one, to extend the hours because it is a statute and that's within the purview of the legislature. Number two, to call the special at a general, so to rescind the special for September and call it for November. That is something that I think they may have to look at, but whether or not they would be willing or likely to do that also remains something that has to be seen, and I don't know that they would do that. And then finally is to appeal to the courts to have everyone have the court issue an order and determine hours based upon that ruling and all the parties be a part of that process. So we're working through council right now because I've had conversations with a number of the electeds who are going to be affected by that are involved in races, and we're trying to see what, if anything, can be done. I've spoken to the governor's office about this, and we have a number of lawyers. We've spoken to the State Board of Elections attorneys about this, and now we're working with our own lawyers, too, to see what, if anything, can be done. And we obviously have to know right now, you know, we can't wait another week or so.
No, because, I mean, the election, it's sad to say, September's almost here.
Right, it is. Not only because summer's going, but the year is coming to a close.
Yeah. I can't believe it's this late already in the year, Joe. It's just been, oh, my
July
goodness.
July flew by.
That's right. State Senator
Joe
Grifo.
You always have too little time in the summer, right,
Mark?
Oh,
man, you're really not kidding, Joe, because it's like Sunday's here, and then it's Monday, and then, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. You know, there's no rest for the wicked, they say, Joe. Excellent. I know you're busy, Senator, so we'll let you go. I appreciate it. And are you going to be out and about in any district offices or anything like that?
Yeah, we're definitely. I mean, that's another thing that we've been working very hard, obviously, not only on the prison issue, but a number of issues. When you're in Albany, you're dealing with legislation and you have a regular session from January to June, but that's only one component of the job. There's a lot of effort and time that's been into dealing with problems that are taking place in the community, constituent issues, and we've been in the district office, and I've been traveling the district over the last month. It's been a very hectic summer, actually. So looking forward to a couple of days eventually to recharge the battery.
Yeah.
But right now, we'll continue to do what we have to do to advocate for the region and particularly on some of the issues of importance that we're working on with the state administration right now. They need our priority and attention. So we'll keep doing that so people understand that we're always available and we're despite the fact that we're not in Albany, there's a lot going on, as you said. One of the things you wanted to know about and give you a quick thing is the land bank.
Oh, yeah, the land bank, yes.
Because a lot of the bills are being signed now. In fact, I had two bills vetoed last night by the governor, and they called to tell me that. And we can talk about that at another time. One was on immunization records for college kids.
Mm.
But the land bank was something that was passed, and this is basically giving another tool to local urban areas that are facing neighborhoods that are experiencing blight, that are having dilapidated buildings. We want to make sure that we avoid crime and all of the other problems that are associated with abandoned buildings and blight. And this would allow communities another tool to bank some of those areas and to be able to try to develop reuse plans for them. It's similar to what was done in the past with urban renewal agencies, just a little more aggressive, to allow any community that has the opportunity to foreclose, which would be a city or a county, to develop these type of strategies and to use to bank some of these properties to give them opportunities to be able to redevelop and reuse that particular area.
Interesting. That's it's all a lot going on in the state of New York, Joe. That's for sure. I don't envy your job, that's for sure, Mr. Senator. It's so.
Always a pleasure to be on with you, Mark, and look forward to coming on where we can talk more extensively and take some phone calls.
Excellent. State Senator Joseph Grifo, thank you so much for joining us.
Take care, Mark.
All right.